Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini. Namaste Saraswata Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pashtacharesha Tarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10 Chapter 65 Verse 2. Parisvakas chiro kantahi Gopair gopi bir eva cha Ramo bivadya pitarava Asir bir abhinandata. Parisvakta, embraced Shira for a long time. Utkantai, who had been in anxiety. Gopai, by the cowherd men. Gopi B, by the cowherd women. Eva, Indi, Sha, also Rama, the Lord Balaram. Abhivadya, offering respects, Pitarao, to his parents, Asibhi, with prayers, Abhinandita, joyfully greeted. Having long suffered the anxiety of separation, the cowherd men and their wives embrace Lord Balaram. The Lord then offered respects to his parents, and they joyfully greeted him with prayers. Purport, Srila Bhishma Chakravarti gives the following verse regarding the situation. Nityananda Sarupopi Prema Tapto Vrajaukasam Yayo Krishnam Api Chaktva Yastam Arama Muhu Stumaha. Let us repeatedly glorify Lord Balaram, although he is the original personality of eternal bliss, Nityananda. He felt pain by his love for the residents of Vrindavan, and thus he went to see them, even at the cost of leaving Lord Krishna. Nanda and Yasoda prayed, O descendant of Dasarha, O Lord of the universe, may you and your younger brother Krishna ever protect us. Saying this, they raised Sri Balaram onto their laps, embraced him, and moistened him with tears from their eyes. Purport, Srila Jiva Goswami comments on this verse as follows. Nanda and Yasoda prayed to Sri Balaram, may you along with your younger brother protect us. Thus they expressed their respect for the fact that he is the older brother, and they also showed how much they considered him to be their own son. Lord Balaram then paid proper respects to the elder cowherd men and the younger ones, all greeted him respectfully. He met them all with smiles, handshakes, and so forth, and so on, dealing personally with each one according to age, degree of friendship, and family relationship. Then, after resting, the Lord accepted a comfortable seat, and they all gathered around him, with voices faltering out of love for him. Those cowherds, who had dedicated everything to lotus-eyed Krishna, asked about the health of their dear ones in Dwarka, and Balaram in turn asked about the cowherd's welfare. The cowherd said, O Rama, are all our relatives doing well? And Rama, do all of you with your wives and children still remember us? It is our great fortune that sinful Kamsa has been killed and our dear relatives have been freed. And it is also our good fortune that our relatives have killed and defeated their enemies and found complete security in a great fortress. Sufde Goswami continued, honored to have the personal audience of Lord Balaram, the young gopi smiled and asked him, is Krishna the darling of the city women living happily? According to the Acharyas, Lord Krishna's beloved girlfriends were smiling with divine madness since they were feeling extreme unhappiness in separation from their beloved Krishna. Lord Rama deeply respected their great love for Sri Krishna, his younger brother, and thus the term Rama Sandarshanadatra carries the meaning that Balaram honored the gopis as well as giving the meaning that they honored him. Does he remember his family members, especially his father and his mother? Do you think he will ever come back, even once, to see his mother? And does mighty armed Krishna remember the service we always did for him? Srila Vishnu Chakravarti comments that the gopis would render service to Lord Krishna by stringing flower garlands, skillfully using perfumes, and constructing fans, beds, and canopies out of flower petals. By these simple acts of love, the gopis rendered the greatest service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For Krishna's sake, O descendant of Dasarha, we abandon our mothers, fathers, brothers, husbands, children, and sisters, even though these family relationships are difficult to give up. But now, O Lord, that same Krishna has suddenly abandoned us and gone away, breaking up all affectionate ties with us. And yet, how could any woman fail to trust his promises? How can intelligent city women possibly trust the words of one whose heart is so unsteady and who is so ungrateful? They must believe him because he speaks so wonderfully, and also because his beautiful smiling glance arouses their lust. According to Sridhar Swami, some gopis speak the first two lines of this verse and others reply in the second two lines. Why bother talking about him, dear gopis? Please talk of something else. If he passes his time without us, then we shall simply pass ours without him. Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami points out that the gopis here subtly indicate that Lord Krishna spends his time happily without them, whereas they are most unhappy without their Lord. This is the difference between him and them. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti adds the following commentary. Considering themselves different from other women, the gopis thought as follows. If other women are together with their lovers, they live, and if they are separated, they die. But we neither live nor die. This is the fate Providence has written on our foreheads. What remedy can we find? So here we have a whole series of verse describing what happened when Balaram returned to see the people of Raja after long absence. And we see that verses described how Nanda and Yasoda embraced Balaram and then put him on their laps and began asking him all sorts of questions. So in this way, all the people of Vrindavan felt great joy, and they welcomed Balaram to their place. So this fulfills part of the promise because Balaram and Krishna had both left, and at this point Balaram returns. But, of course, Balaram does not return permanently. Also, he later leaves again. And, of course, Krishna was not there. In any case, the presence of Balaram was some consolation for the people of Vrindavan. And he stayed there for some time. But here, there's particular attention given to the words of the gopis. And these are particularly the gopis whom had love for Krishna. It's also described that Balaram also had a different set of gopis. And just as Krishna had pastimes with his gopis, so Balaram also had pastimes with his gopis. So these gopis that speak here are particularly the gopis who were in love with Krishna. So they ask Balaram about Krishna and his present state of mind. And through this, we can understand how the gopis are still overwhelmed by their attraction for Krishna. And in such a state, even they have a type of madness. Just as when Uddhava came to Vrindavan with the message, then there's a whole chapter dedicated to describing the madness of Radha as she talks to the bumblebee and thinking this is the messenger from Krishna. So this is called Divya Unmada, or divine madness, in which rationality is completely lost. So here we see also that the gopis in separation from Krishna experience a lot of feelings. And one explanation here is that they're smiling, but actually they're very angry at Krishna when they ask these questions. And we can see through these questions that actually they feel very disappointed. And also they express some jealousy because the city women have Krishna and they can enjoy with him, whereas the gopis in Vrindavan cannot enjoy with him. So that is one type of feeling, jealousy. Another is anger that he has cheated them, and now he will cheat others as well. Just as he has cheated us, he will cheat the city women and leave them as well. So there's some anger at the behavior of Krishna. At the same time, we should not take this as a fault in the gopis. So these are expressions of their love for Krishna. So they don't indicate real hatred or real jealousy as in the material world. So often the term used is anger in affection. Out of affection, they show anger. So the affectionate relationship is the cause of everything, and sometimes it will manifest as anger or jealousy, etc. So the main sentiment here is called the Stayi Bhava, which is a positive affectionate relationship with Krishna. In this case, it is the Madhurya Stayi Bhava. And within that love, then there is what we call temporary feelings that manifest. They give variety to that love. It's described, these are originally called Sanchari Bhavas or Vyabhachari Bhavas. And they act against the main current of love in many cases. So the main love is that of affection for the Lord. And then we have these emotions that act against that, such as anger and jealousy, etc. So they create a little bit obstacle in that love. But these are described as being like small waves in the ocean. And they appear and they disappear again. So the main sentiment is this Madhurya Stayi Bhava. And then within that, we get temporary manifestation of anger or jealousy, etc., worry, or speculation, or whatever feelings they have. If these feelings become a little prolonged, then they're called secondary rasas, or gona rasas. They become gona rasas, so they have their particular Stayi Bhavas, and Vyabhachari Bhavas, and Satvika Bhavas, etc., and Vibhava. And they become rasa, in one sense. Of course, Rupa Goswami says, actually they're not rasas. But he calls them rasas because this is what Bharat Muni describes them as, and they become very prominent in material rasa. So in Bharat Muni's analysis of rasa, we have these secondary rasas. He doesn't call them secondary rasas. He just groups the primary and the secondary ones together, and not all the primary ones. There's no vatsalya there. So you have Madhurya Rasa and Shanta Rasa, and then you have secondary rasas like the Krodha Rasa or the Virya Rasa, etc. And they're quite prominent in material rasa. So, because they are mentioned as rasas by Bharat Muni, then Rupa Goswami said they're also rasas, but secondary rasas. And they depend upon the primary rasas. However, he says, actually they're not rasas at all. They're just Vyabhachari Bhavas, prolonged Vyabhachari Bhavas, and they disappear also. So in other words, Rupa Goswami puts the emphasis upon the primary Stayi Bhavas, Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. So these are the important ones. And the others, so-called secondary rasas, are actually prolonged Vyabhachari Bhavas that appear and disappear. So that is to show that the main sentiment is this positive affection for Krishna. And everything that runs counter to that is a temporary manifestation. And why does there? It increases the taste of the rasa. So, within rasas, we have emotions. But the emotions get expressed as activities. So the devotee will do an activity for Krishna, and Krishna will respond with his activity. So these activities create lila, or pastimes. So we have Govardhan pastime, or Damodar pastime, etc., in which the devotee is doing actions and Krishna is doing actions also. And there's an exchange of feelings within these actions, all based upon the primary rasa. So in the case of Damodar Lila, the primary rasa there is Vatsalya. Mother Yasoda has motherly affection, and Krishna is acting as her son. But then we find secondary emotions arising where Mother Yasoda gets a stick and gets angry at Krishna. And then Krishna shows fear, and he starts crying. So these are all secondary phenomena arising from the main rasa of Vatsalya. And they appear and they disappear.
So they're not permanent fixtures in the spiritual world. In the material world, they don't depend upon the primary rasa. They may be there without any affection at all. We can have anger and greed and so many things without an affectionate relationship. So in the material world, the rasas operate in a very different way. So in the case of the gopis here, they are expressing themselves. Of course, they cannot help but do this because of they're so disturbed. They don't keep their thoughts and their feelings within themselves. They begin to express them to Balaram by their words and their questions. Even though they would like to conceal them, somehow they cannot. So therefore, very obviously, when they speak and they question Balaram, we see that they show some anger, they show disappointment, they show jealousy, etc. All these symptoms manifest. But it arises because of that extreme love, which becomes more extreme in separation. So just as when Krishna left Vrindavan, the gopis showed the most extreme symptoms. And then when Uddhava returned with his message, the gopis again displayed the most extreme symptoms of all the people of Vrindavan. So here also, the gopis manifest the most extreme symptoms in talking to Balaram. So there's a whole section here dedicated to the questions of the gopis to Krishna, which show their great disturbance caused by that separation. So that is a symptom of their great attraction for Krishna. That attraction and separation leads to great disturbance, and the disturbance manifests in different ways. So one of the ways that will manifest is in the words they speak. So here they question Balaram about Krishna without even shyness. Just as when Krishna left Vrindavan, in spite of the fact that no one was supposed to know about their love for Krishna, they just began fainting and rolling on the ground, etc., and everyone could see this. They could not disguise their symptoms in front of other people. So here also, and Balaram, of course, is in Sakya Rasa with Krishna, so it's a different rasa completely, but they still reveal themselves to him with great detail here because of their overwhelming love for Krishna. They cannot do anything else but manifest these symptoms. So this again is a show of the intensity of the love of the gopis in particular for Krishna. However, that does not in any way negate or criticize the love of the other people of Vrindavan. They also had intense love for Krishna. And of course, when Uddhava also went, he describes that Nand and Yasoda were no longer, they were mourning. They were no longer cooking in the house, etc. They weren't cleaning the house. They were almost as if dead because of separation from Krishna. So not only the gopis, the others also have very strong sentiments here. So when Balaram returned, of course, then there could be some consolation. And we see how Nanda and Yasoda put Balaram on their laps, just as if he were a small child, even though now he was an adult many years later, completely grown up. But still, they put him on their laps, and they were crying and embracing him, just as if he were a small child. So they didn't see him as anything except that form of a small child. And of course, Krishna and Balaram don't age. So they appear just as they appeared when they had left Vrindavan, no different actually, in spite of all the years that had intervened. So they have that same love that they had previously for Krishna and Balaram. So part of their emotion is satisfied because they do have Balaram here. But there's also absence because Krishna must also come. So though Balaram is almost like Krishna, he's also Supreme Lord, the people of Vrindavan had special attraction for Krishna over anyone else, even of Balaram, etc. So, therefore, without Krishna, there was also lack of satisfaction ultimately. And for that reason, we find that later, Krishna came in person and satisfied everybody. And that fulfills his promise to the people of Vrindavan. So, the appearance of Balaram is, we can say, something like the appearance of Uddhava. Uddhava also looked like Krishna and therefore was a little satisfied. But then Balaram was a better person to send because he actually is Supreme Lord and he resembles Krishna also very much. And they also had this very strong attraction to Krishna, Balaram, as they had for Krishna in the past times of, with the Sakya Rasa, Dasya Rasa, Vatsalya Rasa, and Madhurya Rasa. So all of these were manifested with Balaram. So he could satisfy people to some degree. Nevertheless, Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. So he is the ultimate source of joy for everyone. The complete satisfaction comes with the manifestation of Krishna. When he appears, then everybody is completely satisfied and joyful. So, presence of Krishna is called Samboga, or union, meeting with Krishna. And then we have the separation, which in Madhurya Rasa is called Vipralamba. In other cases, it's called Viyoga, the separation. And so we have Yoga and Viyoga. The union and separation, Yoga and Viyoga. in this case, and in Madhurya Rasa, it is Vipralamba and Samboga. Jiva Goswami explains that separation should always be followed by union. The separation is there, and of course it is said in Madhurya Rasa, it does have feelings of great joy, but still it should resolve into a union at a certain point. So Krishna should personally appear. So he has not appeared here, so therefore there cannot be complete satisfaction. So when Krishna does appear after killing Dantavakra, then there is that samboga or conclusion to their feelings. And this is particularly so for the gopis, that they get the highest satisfaction when Krishna is there. Of course, it is explained that even if he is there, they have feelings of grief because they fear he will leave again or whatever. However, in separation and in union, there's always pluses and minuses there, especially for the gopis. But in any case, the separation should be followed by a union at a certain point in time. So there's never eternal separation. Well, it's followed by union. So that ultimately results in great joy. So when Krishna ever did return, then they were completely satisfied. So it is explained that then Krishna did not leave in one sense, and his activities simply became uppercut. So at the same time, we can also understand that in the spiritual world, as well as the material world, the activities are going on. So therefore, in the spiritual world, there's no separation, even though in the material world there is separation. So therefore, in one sense, Krishna doesn't leave at all, because in spiritual world, he's always there. In the material world, he leaves, but then he comes back. In spite of the fact that Krishna had been absent for a long time in one of his forms, in another form, they are in union with Krishna, in the uppercut form. So this is another explanation given why Krishna kept his promise, that they could simply, in intense love, enter into the uppercut pastimes, and there they continue enjoying with Krishna in union. So in this way, Krishna did not break his promise. They simply had to enter into the uppercut lila, and then they would be in union with Krishna at that point. Therefore, Krishna did not break his promise, and it simply required an intensity of love, and then they could enter into union with Krishna in apricot pastimes. Yeah, we see that in other places, not only here, other places also, even the other residents of Vrindavan and even the gopis may call Krishna also Jagat Guru, etc. It can be taken in two ways. One is that Baladev Vidyabhusan particularly, also Vishnu Chakravarti, says that yes, they may realize temporarily the supreme position of Krishna. Usually in extreme emotional states, and then that disappears, but this never disturbs their relationship with Krishna. And so even though they may say words like he is the Lord of the universe, etc., still they treat Krishna, here Balaram, treat him just as their son and without any reservations, put him on his lap, etc. Whereas Vasudeva and Devaki never did that. They never stick him on their lap and start crying like that. In fact, Devaki was very astonished when Nanda and Yasoda came to Kurukshetra and Krishna and Balaram were on their laps and they were crying, and she was saying, they have more affection for their Krishna and Balaram than I have, but I'm their mother. So because of that reverence, it permanently affects her affection. Whereas here, even if they say, yes, Krishna is Supreme Lord, suddenly the emotions of their intense love overcome that, and it's not a factor. It never restricts their love.
Since these gopis are angry with Krishna because of not coming back to Vrindavan, verse 14 is said that if Krishna can be happy with us, why cannot we be happy with him? So the gopis are angry.
Yeah. Well, they may express anger, but actually it's not permanent, because we see, as in the case of Radharani and the bumblebee, she's also expressing anger, etc. But then immediately she gets really frightened and she starts apologizing to the bumblebee and say, don't do anything, don't disturb Krishna, etc. So immediately she regrets that anger and it disappears again. So there is temporary manifestation of anger and it disappears again. No, it manifests and then it disappears. And instead of anger, that it will show misery or other sentiments or whatever. Or longing or praying for Krishna to come back. So it's not that I'm always angry with Krishna for not coming back. So it manifests and it disappears. And then other emotions arise. Yeah, for that particular moment. And then again disappears. We find the case even when Uddhava was there. They say the same things. Very similar. And then again, it disappears, and they show other emotions, and then they become very polite, and they're asking more about Krishna, etc. So it's all temporary manifestation.
And even you see, when Uddhava was here, also one statement is said, like, this woman always has someone, this nature that appears of other women. Can you show you this some verses that Krishna is very happy with some beautiful woman, but
Well, in Madhurya Rasa, that is one of the factors. And in fact, we have what is called man, which is one stage in higher, after prema, we get sneha and pranaya and man and raga and anuraga, etc. So man doesn't manifest with Indasya Rasa or Vatsalya Rasa, but it manifests in Madhurya Rasa. And that man means like anger and pride, etc., and refusal to see Krishna at certain times and anger at Krishna, etc. So it's an aspect of prema. When the prema becomes intense, then it may manifest as mana and madhurya rasa particularly.
Why in Vrindavan, Balaram ji is in the mood of Krishna's servant. And Vrindavan is a place where everyone is attracted to Krishna exclusively. Then how is it that there are gopis who are attracted to Balaram?
Well, no, in Vrindavan, Balarama is also the object of attraction. So usually we see, for instance, Vatsalya Rasa is expressed not only for Krishna, but Nanda and Yasoda and Rohini have Vatsalya Rasa for Balarama also. And they treat him as the child also, even though he wasn't technically their child. They treat him just like Krishna. And they feed them together, they dress them together, etc. So that Vatsalya Rasa is expressed. And then we have, of course, Sakya Rasa. We find Balarama is also there with Krishna in the fields, and they're playing with Krishna, also playing with Balarama. So there is feelings for Balarama as well. And in fact, we see in Gauranga Lila, a whole series of cowherd boys are attracted to Nityananda, or in Nityananda's Lila, and these are the cowherd boys attracted to Balarama, actually. So there's a whole group of cowherd boys who are with Balarama and Sakirasa as well.
So one can do sadhana to exchange rasa with Balarama?
Could. Though in our particular yuga, we don't see elaborate descriptions of that. But in some particular yugas, maybe Balarama becomes more prominent, and therefore there'll be lots of pastimes with him, and then people will have, you know, rasas with Balarama. So just as you can have rasas with Vishnu or Rama or anyone, so Balarama also. So therefore, all the rasas are expressed with Balaram as well here, including Madhurya Rasa.
And Maharaj, person practicing Raganaga Bhakti also, why do sadhana? We have to know that Krishna is a supreme personality.
Yeah.
So at what stage in the process does that knowledge get covered that Krishna is?
Well, we can say that even in the Nitya Siddhas, in one sense, they also are aware Krishna is Supreme Lord, but it doesn't interfere with their, it simply gets overwhelmed by their attraction for Krishna. So in Vaidhi Bhakti, on the other hand, that feeling that Krishna is the Supreme Lord will remain a permanent part of their bhava. A prominent part of their bhava, so that will restrict the different rasas to some degree, and therefore it's not considered so high. So in Raganuga, then yes, we all begin by accepting the position of Supreme Lord and the Jiva, and you know, just a philosophical, that is very, very necessary to establish any type of bhakti. That continues and influences rasa. When we do Vaidhi Bhakti, the Vaidhi Sadhana, then it goes to Bhava and Prema. In our realization, then we still have this understanding, oh, God is here, I am here. In Raganuga Bhakti, Sadhana, then this is the philosophical thing is accepted, but then the relationship with Krishna becomes more prominent, and that's emphasized. Based upon our understanding that we're all servants of the Supreme Lord, etc. And then we develop our particular relationship with Krishna based on that, so there's no offense involved with anything, thinking that Krishna is some inferior being or whatever, or a devat or whatever. We carry out our activities, and this becomes the most prominent feature, the relationship with Krishna. So it's a matter of, you can say, emphasis of that knowledge. So in Raganuga, the emphasis is upon the sweetness of the relationship. And though the knowledge is there, it becomes secondary to the cultivation of the relationship. So that when we get bhava and prema, then that realization becomes so prominent that one doesn't even consider Krishna as Supreme Lord because of that. Though it may manifest at certain points, it disappears again.
So it's a matter of
cultivation. Yeah, yeah. Something Maharaj's name, right? Dasaraso, Vaisaraso, Madhuraso, that little bit realization about the Supreme, the Krishna Supreme. But in Sikraso, we never see that gopas are praying to Krishna like you or the other gurus, something like that. It's nothing like that. That they consider like a more grand.
There are probably a few places maybe where they may call out to him. Maybe you have to look around, but you may find a few places like in the Kaliya pastime or something like that where they may express themselves. But definitely the gopis do call out like that sometimes. And here we see Nanda and Yasoda also calling out. So Sakya Rasa, Dasya Rasa also, they could do that. But in any case, it's all very temporary. It's a temporary phenomenon. It gets covered over again. And I said, because of intense emotion, it may arise. So the more higher we go, the more intense the emotion. So the more likely to occur in Vatsalya or Madhurya Rasa.